never settle, unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips and experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
And welcome in, everybody, on the eve, of course, of this year's All-Star Game, the All-Star festivities, the extravaganza, were taking place not only last night, but will continue today and then culminates with a big game coming up tomorrow and or games with the new format. Dan Abone, alongside my man Evan Giddings, and I want to start right there. Ev, last night, first of all, I know I have some fun at your expense. We throw verbal darts at one another, but in all seriousness, hell of a job last night. I really enjoyed from beginning to end to listening to the remote that you and your buddy Grandy did. And I want you to sort of start there in detail. First of all, where you guys were at, a cigar bar, and sort of the inner workings that a lot of us weren't privy to. What's up, man?
What's going on? Well, first of all, thanks for listening. And it was a lot of fun. We were out at the Amador Cigar Lounge, which is a place that, you know, like San Francisco's got a lot of these, I don't know, kind of discreet locations. Like you go in through this, I don't know, like broken down doorway. You step inside. There's one elevator and the woman says, where are you headed? You say the Amador Club. All right, 10th floor. You go up and then it opens up, right? Top floor penthouse of this building right across from the Transamerica. So you got, you know, pyramid room that's looking right at Transamerica. You got the Coit room, which is a little bit higher up that looks right at Coit Tower. And we were set up in a different themed room. It was like the Velvet Room or something. And for those watching on YouTube and Twitch, it was a great, I think, interactive sort of deal. But then listening on the radio too, I'm glad you were able to tune in because I was curious how it sounded. Like we went from guest to guest. We had, I think, 6 or 7 people we talked to across 3 hours. Grandy was awesome. I really enjoyed
it. Couldn't even tell it was a remote.
And it was, there was music and cigar smoke and all of these things going on right outside, but people were coming and going, and I want to thank, number one, Ben Shapiro helped set up this entire thing in advance of the Celebrity Pickleball Bash, which is today, and then also all the guests we had on, from Latrell Sprewell to Dusty Baker, Tyler Hansborough, John Isner, Anthony Anderson, many more. It was just a really cool event. Daryl the Goober Johnson showed out, and afterwards, yeah, we got to enjoy a couple cocktails and a couple cigars.
Open bar?
You know, I didn't make it by that point, but at least for us, it was open. I mean, we were working that night, so I just said, hey, I'm with the remote. And they said, what do you want? I'm like, well, I'm a bourbon guy. Give me Manhattan.
Well, one of my favorite moments is when Dusty Baker turned to you and said, do you drink wine? And I was like, Dusty, obviously you don't know the young fella. That's a no-brainer. Well, I can answer that
camera,
for you.
Dusty, not on camera, during the commercial break.
But no, I enjoyed every moment of it. It's interesting that you mentioned that because you know where all those little private clubs came from? It's sort of this new money and the as I like to say it, the tech money. So a lot of these, you know, these millennials or the Gen Ys that are retiring at the age of 35 is that they didn't want to go to the bars and just get a private room there, or VIP'd at the local watering hole. So they created all over the city of San Francisco, these little speakeasies, if you will. They're these little clubs, unbeknownst to sort of the unwashed masses, that are just privy to them, and they're sort of tucked away in some of these big financial buildings down on Montgomery Street and what have you. The Battery Club is similar to that, although the Battery Club is more of a hotel, but it's by invite only in order to go and drink at the bar. So, yeah, it was well done. I found it thoroughly entertaining and enjoyable from beginning to end. And the quality, usually when you do a remote, the biggest concern for me is that it's going to sound like crap. Is it going to sound like, you know, dishes clanging in the background, people screaming over you? But no, the way they had you set up, which I don't know exactly where you were, was perfect. From a technical standpoint, you guys pulled it off without a hitch.
No, I appreciate that. The audio was good. I went there a couple days before just to set up and test everything because it's also a pretty old building. Like, I had to use my cell phone as a hotspot for our Zoom setup, but we were able to find like a phone line, like a hard line, but a phone line. For those that are curious as to what that is, that's what Ethernet used to be. Like, in order to tap into, you know, a straight line internet, you know, if you're on a remote broadcast anywhere in the country, it used to be through a phone line. And so that's what the kind of building we were in, which also made it really cool because you really felt like, to your point, Dan, about those, you know, those kind of old city clubs, like you were in kind of a time capsule and transferred back in time through San Francisco. So, you know, it was a private event. It's a private club, a place that I don't typically tend to get into. And so it was a lot of fun. I just want to give a shout-out to the Amador Cigar Lounge.
Yeah, you know, that takes me back to one of the first, when I was doing play-by-play, and I was a young fella, actually just out of college, and I was calling games for the Silver Swords of Chaminade. And so they did not have, obviously, the best. We were out of a local radio station that did talk shows like this, although it wasn't sports format. It was more political. But I remember when they lost my signal, and to your point, where it would go, the Ethernet would go through that phone line, I had to do an entire three quarters via a telephone, and not a cell phone, an old rotary phone, calling play-by-play for Chaminade. So,
that is last case scenario. We had a couple games when we were doing arena football two summers ago, where, yeah, the box actually went out. It's like the unit itself, the Comrex, just completely died. And you just pick up the phone, you call in, and that's how they get you on the air.
Well, I enjoyed it. I really did. If there was anything out of whack there, I'd probably be a little bit more critical of you guys. But I just thought, and you guys are especially you, man, when I get a chance to not be here and listen to you from afar, I maintain, man.
No, I appreciate you. You always show love. And you also will let me know if there's something that we need to do better. So I sincerely appreciate you tuning in. And again, shout out to the Amador Cigar Lounge for last night's event.
Yeah, so to my point is that it's sort of what it is, a Dusty set that, when he said, yeah, Orlando Cepeda gave me advice, and I think you asked him, I forgot where the question or how he arrived at the answer, but he talked about, yeah, it's one thing to hear it from a coach or a manager, but it's another thing to hear it from a player. And then he launched into a story about Henry Aaron. And he said something to the fact, and I'm paraphrasing here, that Orlando Cepeda said, yeah, but it's not yours to keep. It's for you to pass along to the next generation. So when you get up there, you just remember that as much as you love this industry there, young fellow Evan Giddings, pay it forward. Pay it forward to the next up-and-comer, to the next kid out there who might be in grammar school. It's going to be the next Evan Giddings. Always be looking for the generation behind you. That's how we pass this torch and keep this machine going.
Well, I think it's advice that spans across all industries, because the question was about what he was talking about. And I knew about Dusty Baker's past, obviously, as a manager, but the more that he talked about his playing days and his younger years, it just had me thinking, like, this guy has seen so much greatness that I was curious if he, kind of sensed a common thread throughout the generations of baseball or just sports that he's had a chance to see in circles that we will never get to experience. And, you know, he was just like, I mean, the fact that all these great players from Cepeda to Aaron to Bonds, Bobby Bonds, Barry Bonds, Willie Mays, and even into the guys now that he's had a chance to manage, for example, someone like Justin Verlander, who's on the San Francisco Giants, all of those guys have paid it forward in some way or another. So it's excellent advice, and it comes from a dude that had, like, people like that have every reason to blow you off or not give you the time of day, and not to say that they'd be right in doing so, but you'd kind of get it, right? Like, Dusty Baker's been in baseball for 45 years. He's a legend. He's won a World Series. He could just basically you know, say, all right, kid, like, get out of here. And he didn't do that. In fact, nobody did that last night.
All right, let's get into the Golden State Warriors. This is Warriors This Week. Evan Giddings and Dan Devone. And what a week it was. Of course, the first four games with one Jimmy Butler. And the Golden State Warriors, first of all, looked like a new team. They fared well on that road trip despite the hiccup against Dallas. They end things on a positive note with that big win against Houston. But where are we at with Jimmy Butler? And he obviously has had a positive impact on this team. I think the big question going forward is just, is it sustainable? There's a couple of questions I have when it comes to Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Is you got to let this breathe. I think it's only going to get better as he acclimates more to his new team. It's Steph Curry, believe it or not, and it's Jonathan Kuminga. That's sort of the unknown factor. And how, when he comes back, how does he assimilate with Jimmy Butler? How do those two get along? I think it's only going to be a good thing. I don't worry about these things as much as others, I think, because a lot of people have a tendency to look at these things on paper. It's just like, well, this isn't going to work. They both play the same position, and they both want to do the same thing. Yeah, it's a wash. Move on. Look, they said the same thing with, you know, Luka and Kyrie Irving, and they're saying the same thing about Luka and now LeBron. Good players know how to make room for one another. It'll work. But we just need to see it, and I think it may take a little while. But where are you at with Jimmy Butler after seeing him after a couple of games?
Well, they're obviously better, and I think the most important part, because you and I were both skeptical of the deal, I would say more cautiously optimistic. Like, the idea, again, of getting older as a team that's already old, I guess I wasn't as interested in that. But I remember a conversation we had back in the summer where we were tossing around, you know, like the Paul Georges, the Markkanens, it might have been Durant, and I felt like Jimmy Butler was the most easily acquirable star that they could get. And I'm a big fan of his game. To me, he's somebody that now turns the Warriors into a team of interest. And that was something they could not boast before. The season was dead in the water. It was going nowhere. Maybe there was a chance they could, you know, sneak into the play-in, maybe catch a team. But the season was not going to be anything to write home about. Now, you can envision this team legitimately making the playoffs. And I think that's the goal, right? They didn't make the postseason last year. This year, the goal is to make the postseason and see how far you can take this thing, to gauge where you're at before you have, you know, essentially a year and a half left of this big three you've put together. So I think the Warriors are now a team that everyone needs to be watching, that the entire league needs to be watching, because Steph is already box office himself, and now he's on an island with another player that legitimately has star power. And I think we've learned very quickly just how much good basketball Jimmy Butler has left in his body.
Yeah, it's not about Jimmy Butler in the here and now. And I know that I wasn't a fan of the trade, but it wasn't about Jimmy Butler and what it is that he can do, because I knew you were going to get your best version of Jimmy. And this was... this isn't a surprise to me, because if you take care of Jimmy Butler's contract, which is what they did,
yeah,
Jimmy Butler's going to come and play ball for you, which is what he's going to keep his nose clean. The question I have, and we can worry about this when we get to it, it's just about longevity, is that when we get into next year and you have a bunch of guys, Steph then at 37 and a bunch of guys in their mid-30s that are your best basketball players, and then the other players who are just still green and a little wet behind the ears, I just don't know how that dynamic is going to work and spending that much money on Jimmy Butler. But that's, you know, that's a conversation for next year.
Well, I also think there's concern with, you know, the last 27 games. Like, you got to keep all these guys healthy, Curry, Draymond, and Jimmy, for not just the 27 games, but into the postseason, making sure that they're fresh. And I, you know, not a concern from the standpoint of it can't happen, but, you know, it isn't just longevity as far as next season, but when you got older bodies, you're more susceptible to injury.
Yeah, the questions I have with this basketball team is, it starts with Steph, and Steph is still their best player. But I think it should be clear to everybody that Steph can no longer be that guy, and he hasn't been for a while, but you would see it more frequently where he would give you the 35 points, or he would erupt as he did on that road trip with 24 in the fourth quarter and be this amazing Steph. That's becoming few and far between. That's becoming more the exception now than the norm.
Yeah.
Now, Jimmy Butler is going to help with that, but is Jimmy Butler enough? And the addition of Jonathan Kuminga, how does that work out? I think it's only going to benefit the Golden State Warriors, but we have to see how that all comes together. But just starting there with Steph, I'm curious how you feel watching Steph Curry, because it's been, you know, I was reading this. So in 2016, when he was the MVP, he had 14 games over 40 points. A couple of years ago in 2022, when they won the NBA championship, he had, I believe, 7 games over 40 points. This year, he has 0. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that back in the day in 2016, you had to worry about other people not named Steph on the Golden State Warriors. Right now, it's about as one-dimensional as it gets in the NBA, is that everybody's blitzing Steph, so that has a large reason, and it's a lot to do with why, you know, some of his stats and those eye-popping numbers have declined a bit. But he's just obvious, and Steph will be the first to admit it, I can't do that as frequently as I once did. And so with that, clearly, I think to everybody that watches Warrior games, it's not that Steph's in a cold streak or Steph isn't feeling it tonight. It's just the new Steph that we have to get used to. Still very, very good. He just can't be that guy on a nightly basis. And so with those performances becoming more infrequent, what is it that we expect of Jimmy Butler? Or is it more of a concern now that clearly Steph has taken a step backwards, and how does Jimmy work into that whole equation?
But, well, yeah, I mean, and Steph is going to have games like he did against Dallas, and he's going to have games like he did against the Lakers, or, but those games ideally are less frequent when you have Jimmy Butler, and you're not as reliant upon those games. Like, I agree with you. I think one of the big reasons that they went 3-1 is because Steph had 3 good games and he had 1 bad game. But it was like he was having 2 good games and 2 bad games before Jimmy got there. So if you're telling me you get 3 good games from Steph a week out of 4, those are odds that I'm taking every single time. And you're right, he's their best player, but there's going to be some nights where I think Jimmy Butler can also be the best player on the floor and lead you to a win. I just don't think he's quite there yet. I think you can tell that he's getting it, you know, whether it's the read and react, how he works with the second unit, playing alongside Steph and Draymond. It's an adjustment, but you've already seen him take steps down the stretch of the Houston game helping out. I know that Dallas didn't go their way, but that was another clutch game, the first one, and I think you could see Jimmy Butler struggling a bit, but the next time they're in that spot, he'll be able to play better. Like, Jimmy's a guy that I'm not concerned about figuring out his place in this team. And what I believe is important about his introduction with Curry is you now have a hierarchy, like a legitimate, you know, top two guys that makes everybody else's role more clear. Like, we were talking about Dusty Baker earlier, and to take it to baseball, it's so much different when you have an established two-hole hitter, or, you know, your best hitter in the lineup, because that's where they hit now. When you don't know who's hitting two, then you also don't really know who should be batting leadoff. You don't know who should hit behind him. The four spot is up in the air. Five. You know, like, there's a domino effect from not having a number one, and more importantly, a clear-cut number two, which the Warriors did not. It means, like, a team Dallas, you might need Buddy Hield to score a lot of points when he shouldn't. Before the trade deadline, you needed Jonathan Kuminga to be your number two scorer every single night when sometimes he couldn't. And it puts more pressure on Steph to be great every single night. So the fact that the Warriors are a team now that isn't as reliant on three-point shooting and, I would say, playing mistake-free basketball, there's more of a margin for error with Jimmy Butler on this team. And there's also more of a margin for error with someone like Steph Curry.
You mentioned Buddy Hield, and I'm so glad the light went on for Steve Kerr.
Chivano
needs to sit. I'm glad Steve was finally like, enough.
He was a...
As they say in Hawaii, enough.
Plus 13 against Houston.
It's just his... The game before...
You don't like the gravity?
Well, Dallas was just one of the worst performances I've seen by a two-guard in a Warrior uniform in a long, long time. And you know the thing about him? He just seems like one of the nicest guys, man.
I think he is.
He comes across as one of the most affable people that you could play with. But he's been dead weight. And on that starting lineup where they inserted, I think it's Pajemski's position again to lose.
We've
been down this road before.
We'll see.
Yeah. So it's Pajemski. You know, and I don't think it's by accident that you're seeing Pajemski as well as Moses Moody flourish with Jimmy Butler. Now, both of those guys, let's keep in mind, their confidence clearly was headed in the right direction prior to the arrival of Jimmy Butler, especially Pajemski. He eradicated all those difficulties he was struggling with early on in the season, and he was a much more confident basketball player and has been over the last, you know, last month. But when you think about Pajemski and Moody, they fit perfect with someone like that of Jimmy Butler, because how is it that Pajemski is getting run with the Golden State Warriors? Well, I'll tell you, it's all guile, man. It's about knee burns, and it's about hustle, and it's about the right basketball play. Yeah, he can shoot it, and he has that little awkward move to the basket, and he decelerates in the lane, and he can get his, but it's not about necessarily his physical skills as far as scoring the ball. It's all the other things he does, and that's sort of what Jimmy Butler is. And it's interesting to see Pajemski flourish now with Butler, because they're cut out of the same mode. And the same can be said about Moody. Moody, yeah, he can line up a three from time to time, but really he's all about hustle plays. And that gets back to Jonathan Kuminga, because I think the identity, the one thing we've talked about with this team, Ev, is that what's the identity? They got one now with Jimmy Butler. I know who the hell they are. You got an inside-out game, and now you've got an identity with Jimmy Butler. You'll always have that no matter where Butler is. Does Jonathan Kuminga fit that mode of what it is we're seeing? Because Butler's all about energy. He's all about loose balls. He's all about bringing it. And that's what Pajemski and Moody, again, not by accident, why I think they're flourishing with the new addition. But Jonathan Kuminga isn't necessarily that guy, at least at this stage of his career. How does he factor in with Jimmy Butler going forward? I know he's excited to have Jimmy, and I know Jimmy's shown signs of taking the young fellow under the wing and giving him the master's class on this is how you play basketball. I'm just curious what this is going to look like when he returns.
I'm more excited to see if Jonathan Kuminga can be the on-ball defender that they right now don't have. I mean, with all due respect to Pods, with all due respect to even Jimmy, your starting lineup right now is devoid of someone that can stay in front of somebody. Like, that's what you saw against Dallas. And I realize that Buddy Hield was not very good. Nobody could guard Kyrie Irving. Like, nobody could guard him. Jimmy Butler couldn't guard Brandon Williams, who's a player that I was not aware was in the NBA before Wednesday. So that's what they're missing. And that's what Kuminga, to me, that's what we're going to find out if he can do. Will he fit? It's going to take some time. There's no doubt about that. And offensively, I think they're going to be a bit constrained. I think they already are constrained. Like, they don't have shooting. I think that's why Buddy's been in the starting lineup for as long as he has, because they don't have any guys that can hit threes, or at least be a threat to hit a three. And they're still going to run into problems. But it's funny, like you mentioned Butler helping some of the younger players. I think it's because someone like Pajemski, he's not yet really a true point. Like, he's more of a two. Butler is a point forward. Like, he's an extra ball handler, and a guy, more importantly, that takes care of the basketball that they did not have before. Andrew Wiggins is undoubtedly a better defender than Butler is at this stage in his career, at least in my opinion. He's not a guy that's going to make a play for someone else. And Moody and Pajemski are guys, and most young players are, they need someone else to make plays for them. And so when you have Curry, along with Butler, along with even Draymond, you have three different guys on the floor that can make a play for others. And that's why I think those two players fit into that lineup, because they're not at yet the stage in their career where they can do that. So I think Kuminga is going to fall into that young player. You know, he's going to need the ball in his hands. I think the Warriors are going to need him to take them to the next level. And in many ways, whatever Kuminga is when he comes back is going to dictate how far they can go. But it's because now they have that established structure of star power. And I just think Butler makes it so much easier for everybody else offensively.
Well, you know, you mentioned all on-the-ball defenders, point-of-attack defense. This is the reason why I have an issue with the Jimmy Butler trade. And I like Butler for now. And again, he's going to be amazing as long as you paid him. But the reason why I'm not in on older players is, think about that. It's really come in vogue over, what, the last 2 years, maybe 3 years, where the Warriors suddenly are now not a good on-the-ball defensive team. They're not good point-of-attack defense. You know what that's saying? In other words, they're old. Because when you're old, you cannot get out on an island and stay in front of a guy, right? Draymond Green is still a top defender, but he's much better in rotating defense. That block he had on Max Christie was vintage Draymond Green. Help defense around the rim. If he's you know, the last defender between you and a layup and it's a close game, you ain't getting it. I'll bet on Draymond 10 out of 10 times. But if you stick him out on the perimeter and say, go watch Max Christie from 25 feet away, 85% of the time, Christie's taking him right to the rack. And the same with Jimmy Butler. I saw him get beat baseline.
Yeah.
That's what happens with an older team. Every time I hear that they're not a good point of attack or they're not good ball defenders, that's, in other words, that's masking you're now old. And that's the primary concern I've always had going forward. And now the addition of Jimmy Butler gets even worse.
But if, I agree with you. That was my biggest concern also. But if Kuminga can be, if Kuminga can be that guy, and I don't think that he's all of a sudden going to transform into an all-NBA or all-defensive player, but if he can be adequate, the one thing they did add with Butler, they added a really good help defender. And now if you look at their starting lineup, like, I think Steph's defense is a bit underrated. Pajemski, I don't think, is a great on-ball defender, but he's a heady help defender. Draymond's an elite help defender, like you mentioned. Butler is a very good help defender. And then, you know, you figure out what to do with your center. You now have like three or four guys that are heady enough off the ball. So if you can have one player that you can deploy that can stop the initial drive, well, then I think he actually might be the piece that completes the puzzle defensively. So again, there are things that they're going to have to work through, but I can see Kuminga. I don't know if it's the last piece, but he's someone that can kind of make the rest of the picture look clear, if you get what I'm saying. Like, that's why I think that Wiggins, his presence or his void is going to be felt, but it just means that Kuminga's got a bigger job to do. And look, he's in line to make a lot of money this summer. All reports are that they're going to pay him. The question is how much and for how long. And if he's someone that can be the two-way player that, you know, again, they kind of envisioned, I think, when they drafted him, well, then he's going to earn himself a lot of money. But he's got roughly 27 or probably 25 games whenever he decides to, whenever he gets cleared to return. That the last 25 games is going to tell us how much he's worth.
I think it's a scary proposition that if the biggest thing we're waiting for with the return of Jonathan Kuminga is his defense.
Well, he's also going to help you offensively. Yeah, he should help you offensively.
Offensively is really where they need those young legs, and they need another scorer, not named Steph, not named Jimmy Butler.
I mean, they just need young players.
Yeah.
They need to get younger, and they chose not to do that at the deadline. So,
but I think he's definitely going to help. It's just going to be curious to see, does he buy in defensively? And it's not on the ball. It's just more about, you know, the rotational, just being very smart and aware, which sometimes he has a tendency to get his head in the clouds. But, hey, listen, it's all good right now because the Warriors, we'll talk about the construction of the West. Are you afraid of OKC? Are you afraid of Memphis and Houston, the teams that right now sit atop the Western Conference? We discussed that and much more. And, of course, we'll go back and forth as to what happened last night at the Cigar Bar with my man Evan Giddings and one of the remotes of the decade. I enjoyed every minute of it. We'll continue here. Warriors this week. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone. Just getting started, back with more after this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbiziero says you might want to get frequent heart palpitations checked out, but don't freak out right away.
Everybody has skipped beats, whether it's the top or the bottom part of the heart. No one is regular 24/7. What they mean prognostically depends on the patient. A young, healthy patient with a normal heart has some skip beats, premature ventricular contractions that they feel. Significance, very little. Bothersome, we may try to help them out. A different patient that has had open heart surgery, has had heart attacks, their scar, those skip beats may carry a very different significance. They might be at risk for worse problems, and we have to evaluate that.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, 5 o'clock out here on the West Coast, it'll be the NBA All-Star Game as it returns to San Francisco. Evan Giddings and Dan Avone as we welcome you into Warriors this week. And, of course, all the pregame festivities continue, the parties as well as some of the games. Last night, as I talked about, they had the Rising Stars winners. And it's going to be Chris Mullin's team with Stephon Castle, Trayce Jackson-Davis. Some good boys on that basketball team. And I really want to get into the Rising Stars in this year's the newly formatted NBA All-Star Game. I'm all in. I am so all in.
Now, why, Dan Devone, are you all in on the NBA All-Star Game?
Because I think there's going to be renewed energy, and it all starts with the kids. The kids. Now, listen, I say I'm all in right now. I have to see how this plays out. I like, theoretically, what it is that they're trying to do. But these kids don't know that it's a show. Like, this might be the biggest game they'll ever play in. They may never get to a stage like this, whether it be an NBA All-Star game and or into the postseason. This could be it for them. And they got an opportunity to make a name for themselves in front of the world. And so I think you're going to see Stephon Castle dunk on somebody when he's not supposed to. I think you might see Trayce Jackson-Davis take a charge and have somebody look up at him and go, look, what the hell are you doing here? It's the All-Star Game. They could change the entire outlook of what has been the biggest concern over the last couple of years. These guys don't give a rip and are launching, you know, threes from half court and alley-oops off the glass.
You familiar with the Dream Team practice with the college players in 1992?
It's a documentary.
Yes. I think there's actually, and there might be one that's coming out pretty soon, about those. There were two practices, but the one that was behind closed doors that the media was not privy to was the one where the college kids won.
Bobby Hurley went to work.
Him, Grant Hill, young studs. Well, Leitner was on the Dream Team.
Oh, that's right.
But you remember what happened the practice after? The Dream Team crushed the college kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see something similar on Sunday.
In the second half, you will.
Yes. That's why I'm excited. Because if there's anyone that can get these old farts to play some basketball in an exhibition that is what now known is become known as the All-Star Game, it's going to be those kids that you're talking about. It's going to be the Castles. It's going to be the Pajemskis, the TJDs. Shoot. The Pat Spencers. By the way, Pat Spencer was on the G League squad.
Yes.
They played well. Reed Sheppard should be embarrassed. You cannot be a part of a G League team if you are the number three overall pick. And he was a representative of like the Rio Valley Grand Vipers. Reed Sheppard's an NBA player. That guy was playing against the Warriors. Like, you can't be on the G League team. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. But I do think that those young players are going
to extract.
Well,
same can be said for Mac McClung. Like,
Mac McClung's played 5 minutes in the NBA this season.
I know, but if you're going to win the NBA slam dunk contest, you got to be on a damn team. And it's his to lose once again. I think he walks away with the hardware again. But my man,
yeah, I mean,
getting
fine
to the association,
he's going up against Matas Bouzelis, Castle's in it too, which should be fun, I guess. And then Andre Jackson Jr. You know what actually is the most damning part about the dunk contest? There's only four participants. You could only get four people to participate in the dunk contest. People were champing at the bit. Not even 5 years ago to get in this thing. There used to be 6, 8 representatives, and now we can only get 4. But I think your point stands. The young guys are going to play hard on All-Star Weekend, and I'm excited because I think it's going to get those old guys to kind of kick the dust off.
Yeah, I think the minute that one of the kids picks, say, I don't know, Dame Lillard's pocket, or is picking up Kevin Durant at three-quarters court, and they're like, you know, the All-Stars get down a little bit, it's going to change the entire complexion. If they wax them and curb stomp the kids and the Rising Stars in the last two quarters of that game, that's fine. That means that they'll be playing the sort of basketball that everybody's paid to come see. Anything other than what it is that we've witnessed over the last couple of years. You know, you mentioned Stephon Castle is becoming, you know, speaking of Rising Stars, that is an appropriate term for this young man because that's exactly what he is becoming out there in San Antonio. Why the hell? I need someone to explain this to me. So, of course, I turn to the young man, Evan Giddings. Why is he not starting? And do I have to watch Chris Paul rolled out there? You know what I think it is? Because you and I have this little bet about San Antonio because I like the Spurs.
Yes, you do.
I think that they're quietly tanking. I think the reason they're rolling Chris Paul out there is that they're quietly doing the tank job.
Perhaps.
What other explanation could there be to put out a 54-year-old man with my man Wimby?
Easy. He's only 39. I think it's because Castle's still a rookie. And I also think the Fox factor is interesting to me. Like, I don't know whether they think that Fox is more of a one or a two, but Paul's kind of the point guard. By the way, Castle still plays a lot. Like, he still plays 30 minutes a game. He's kind of getting Kuminga'd right now where, you know, he's a starting caliber player, but he's just going to come off the bench and get a lot of tick. I don't know. I mean, he's probably their best young player, not named Wembanyama. Vassell's good, too. I'm not sure. I don't buy it that they're tanking, but I think that you probably look at that squad, and this is one of the reasons why our bet I feel good about, and I did before all this happened. They're still like a year away. Like they kind of remind me of the Houston Rockets last season where, you remember the Rockets, they made like a run, almost got the Warriors, went like 10 in a row, just fell out of the postseason, and now you can legitimately see why they've made that next step. That's what the Spurs kind of feel like this season into next season. So I don't know if it's that they don't want to unleash Stephon Castle, but I think they know they got some time to work with, and they're just kind of taking baby steps with him.
So the San Antonio...
Chris Paul's going to be gone soon anyways.
Yeah, but there's no reason why he should start in front of Fox and Stephon Castle. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Chris Paul's a great veteran leader, Dan.
Yeah, look, that team should be all about youth and going downhill with one of the fastest from point-to-point guards that the NBA has seen in a long time, that being De'Aaron Fox. Instead, they get this methodical, slow plotting, let's do pick and roll because it's 1985.
Well, the way you talk about them, it sounds like they're like a 60-win team. the Spurs, you know, of old.
They misuse. I love Wembanyama, and I know this has been talked about, but that you look at his shot chart, it's just like that of Steph's. Like, you're really shooting this many shots from this distance, from behind. I know you can shoot a three, and he's upwards to, like, 37%. He hasn't shot it well of late, but come on, man. At 7'3", you got to get your ass down there.
It's so interesting the kind of expectation you have for older and younger players. Like, I know you obviously love the pups more than the old geezers, but the thing is, it's like, Wembanyama is what, 20? He can't even drink yet. He's going to get into the post at some point. He's got to eat a sandwich. I mean, the guy just broke the 200-pound barrier. He can't bang with the big boys right now. Let him hang out there, figure out the three-point shot, work his way in, and he's going to be an all-timer.
But I think you got to it's not even gradual. There is absolutely no presence. They don't run any sets with him down on the block.
They don't run anything. Well, Chris Paul runs something. Maybe that's why he's on the floor.
And he doesn't want, you know, I just don't want him to see him go down the path of Kristaps Porzingis, where it's almost too late. And Kristaps is still a good basketball player, but I think he could have been a lot better, and obviously the injuries played a factor.
NBA champion.
But I think that Porzingis didn't acclimate or didn't recognize, wow, I could be a factor if I learn how to play within 16 feet. If I could be Jimmy Butler, except I'm like a foot taller. The light went on so late in his career. And I think that, you know, for a guy like that, if Wembanyama with his skill set, just, my man, go to, you know, a big man's camp. Go to the George Mikan big man's camp and just learn a jump hook.
George Mikan's big man camp. I made that from up. The Minneapolis Lakers. All right, Devone, is that who you're looking forward to the most on Sunday in the All-Star game, watching Victor Wembanyama? Or is it Steph? Is it Durant? Is it LeBron? Who is it?
Well, I like Tyler Herro because it's new. Seeing him crack the starting
lineup.
You're
so weird.
Oh, I mean, come on. Tyler Herro's now a starter out there in the East. You know, some of these guys, like, you know, I like the smaller guys, the Jalen Brunson. I mean, look, the new faces.
Yeah.
Like Kate Cunningham. What's Kate Cunningham going to be like playing? Who watches Detroit basketball?
He's going to get shots up is what he's going to do. Because if you watch Detroit basketball, you know that that guy is not afraid to take 15 shots in a single quarter.
My point is, I want to see some of the new faces, the Tyler Heroes and the Kate Cunninghams, both of which are starters. And how about LaMelo Ball? Not even getting an invitation. The leading vote getter. What does that tell us?
Yeah, that's a little messed up. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Trae Young didn't make it until he was an injury replacement. People don't like the chuckers, Dan.
They really don't.
They don't like the chuckers.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons why I think that, believe it or not, because this new ownership out there in Charlotte, you know, they didn't draft this kid. So when you talk about big players that could get moved over the offseason and starting anew, I know it's remote, but just keep an eye on LaMelo and his one-footed threes. He'll be right up there with Zion.
Now, there will be a ball at All-Star Weekend. LiAngelo's performing.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. I think he's performing. I don't know if it's pregame or halftime. I think he's performing on Sunday. Wow. So you will see the balls in the building.
See, that's like something that's not going to translate well. Does LiAngelo translate well to a live performance?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he performed before the Lions and Commanders divisional round game. I don't know. He had Ford Field rocking. Maybe he'll have Chase Center bumping.
Is there a guy that you're looking forward to seeing up close and personal, or?
Well, outside of Steph, I mean, obviously it's his weekend, it's his game, it's his house. So outside of Curry, because I think he's going to try and put on a show. When Lillard comes to Oakland, that's always something that interests me. He's pretty aggressive. He loves to show out for the home crowd, even though he's on the other side of the bridge. I think if there's a player that I'm most interested in watching, it would be Cade Cunningham, because he's a legitimate one, like a like a budding number one, a budding superstar, I think. And the Pistons don't get a lot of good pub, but they've had a really good season for where the expectation was.
They're going to the playoffs.
Off of last year. Well, they're in it right now. Dude, they were like one of the historically worst teams in basketball last year. And Cade was in and out, but I think this season he's really taking the next step. So from his team, like the young team, I think that's Kenny Smith's team, I think he's the kind of guy that I could see leading that squad to, I don't know, the semis or finals, whatever they're calling it in this format.
What do you think of the new format? I see, anything to me that involves a tournament, I think there's just innately there's buy-in by the players.
I think, and this is also one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to watching Cade. To me, if there's anybody that's going to save the All-Star game and turn it back into a game, which it has not been for what feels like half a decade, if not longer, it's got to be one of the young guys. It's got to be a young player that says, come here, Kevin Durant, come here, LeBron James, and get this work. There's got to be some young guy that challenges the older generation so that we have a legitimate reason to believe that this game is going to turn into something different. Because right now, I think the older players have played in so many of these games that it's like they don't really care at this point. They're just out there getting cardio in, trying to have some fun with their friends and not get hurt. It's going to take a young player and one of the maybe the new All-Stars to really step up and try and turn this thing back into what it should be, which is competition among the league's best.
You know what it's become for the NBA All-Stars? It's a business trip. It's a business trip. You need to go out there. You got it. Their agent lines up the itinerary. And one of their assistants, one of their minions says, okay, it's not an All-Star game. This is a business trip. You got to go here, shake some hands. One of your sponsors needs you to show up on Friday. On Saturday, you've got to do this event. By the way, on Sunday, there's a basketball game. Yeah, this has become something where guys just go to do what it is that they have to do to continue to procure those relationships that they have with their sponsors. And so I think this year it could potentially turn back into being a basketball game where they give a rip. And you know who could change that? Your buddy. Zach Edey.
Oh.
Zach Edey.
Okay.
No, Zach Edey is gonna do something inappropriate. Whether it's to Dame Lillard or whether it's to Kevin Durant or LeBron James or Jalen Brunson, where they're going to be like, bro, what are you doing? Like, that's a hard foul. And there might be, he's the one guy who could ratchet up the intensity. I'm putting my faith on Big Maple.
Big Maple. You do know that Draymond's not playing in the All-Star game, right?
Even without Draymond, there'll be a dust-up.
Yeah, or Shai Gilgeous. I think that's also the real Maple you gotta keep an eye on, because that guy is unbelievable. And I think is he on Chuck's team? I think he might be on Chuck's team. But he can make the case to be the best player in this game or during the weekend. But I also think too, it's like when I'm watching the All-Star game, and I'll be in the building. Who is playing the game within the game? Like, who is trying to go at a particular player? The relationships, you're talking about the business trip, and I do have a bone to pick with Jared McCain in a little bit, who didn't even play, Sixers rookie. But
well, he's hurt.
Yes, but he had a chance to help me out last night getting into a party.
Oh.
Didn't do it.
Oh, well, screw him.
Yeah, I'm out on him. But I think that who are the guys that are playing the game within the game? Are they going at teammates? Are they going at rivals in their conference? That kind of stuff to me is really the only part about the All-Star game that's been kind of interesting, and why they're switching up the formats to try and get those little mini rivalries renewed. Because otherwise, Dan, I'm just not really sure what there is to play for at this point, because no one cares about getting $120,000 when you're making the kind of money that these guys make.
Well, you know who cares?
The rising stars.
Damn right.
Or the young guys.
The kids.
The Stephon Castles.
125 skahoots to them? I mean, I really do think it's on their shoulders to change the entire complexion of this thing. The only thing I'm concerned about is, do they get influenced by the cool kids? Do they, like, yeah, we shouldn't be doing that, man. The cool kids aren't Like, why are we taking this so serious? We got to be like LeBron. We got to be like, you know, Dame, and we got to be like Kyrie Irving. What do we do? Come on, man. Let's not work that hard. We want to be accepted rather than win 120K.
Well, that's why you're going to need an Anthony Edwards or a Shea Gilgeous-Alexander or one of these budding superstars to step up and just say, screw you guys. Like, you guys, you oafs. You lollygag. Shout out Bull Durham. Up and down this court for 40 minutes or however long you make it out there. Like, this weekend is about showing people the best we have in the game. And not just being in your jersey and literally being mannequins that are getting reps in. You know, it's the All-Star practice is taking place in Oakland in about 1 hour. I need that to not be what the actual game looks like 24 and a half hours from now. Because the All-Star practice might be the best part of All-Star weekend, and a lot of people aren't going to get to see it or get to go.
Can you make any sort of, or can you explain to me why it is that Steph Curry, of all All-Star games, the return to San Francisco is not taking part in the three-point shooting contest this evening?
He's gutless.
Wow.
No, I'm just playing.
Hello.
I actually think it's.
By the way, a Manhattan is made with rye whiskey.
Yeah, I found that out earlier. Still a little woozy. At least I was an hour ago. The thing about,
that's a good call, by the way. Manhattan's done well as an awesome drink, especially this time of the year. It's sort of like comfort food, comfort drinking. Manhattan.
I found it's kind of tough to get a good one though.
It is. It's very nuanced.
Yeah, there's
anybody can pour a beer. Manhattan, hard to do.
Especially, around this area for some reason. The thing about Steph in the three-point contest, I don't know why he's not doing it. Like, I think there has to be something in store tonight. And I don't know if it's a one-on-one matchup. Last year, it was against Ionescu. That was the best part of All-Star Weekend last year. And I know they wanted to evolve it.
With
Caitlin Clark, and then I think Steph was going to be paired with Clay. That would be my guess. Come back to Chase Center, Splash Brothers, Sisters, yeah. I don't know.
Well, again, Caitlin bowed out, and you knew Clay wasn't going to do it. He's on his boat somewhere. He has nothing to do with it.
I think he might have been coerced.
I think Caitlin Clark, she declined. And you know why I think she did?
Well, I think she said it. Right?
What'd she say?
She said she wanted her first three-point competition to be in the WNBA All-Star game, which is in Indianapolis next year.
But I think, the real reason is she doesn't want to hear it, man. She doesn't want to hear it. She's been dealing with this for going on 3 years now. She doesn't want to come here and saying, why are you here? There are better three-point shooters in the WNBA. You weren't even in the top 10. We're so tired of Caitlin Clark privilege. She knows. She's smart. She's like, you know what? I don't need this in my life right now. I don't think she wants to deal with the. I don't think she wants to deal with the blowback, because that blowback is real in her world.
Blowback from what? From losing, or from winning?
No, from,
or just competing.
No, it's just what people perceive as the privilege that Caitlin Clark receives. And the fact that she's invited to be in a three-point shooting contest when she's not the best three-point shooter in the WNBA.
Well, Ionescu isn't either.
I know, but I think it gets fueled more with Caitlin Clark. And I think Caitlin Clark, that's sort of what it is that she's been dealing with since she's come into the league, is a lot of that. Sort of this, you know, Caitlin Clark has the silver spoon in her mouth and everybody else just sort of get out of the way. And she just like, you know what? I don't want to deal with that. Like, I know I'm not the best three-point shooter. I know you're going to come at me, so I'm just going to blow it off.
I think that Caitlin Clark has an understanding of, shout out Steph Curry, the gravity that she possesses. Like, she's a star. And the fact that she's not doing this competition and it's kind of falling apart, I think just indicates how big of a Jenga piece she is in the tower of basketball entertainment. If she's here today, hypothetically at Chase Center, there's going to be a lot more eyes on that game or that three-point competition than there'd be otherwise. And it's not just because of Steph. When you pair, I think, the two best basketball entertainers that we have in the men's game and the women's game, it would take it into a completely different stratosphere. And the fact they can't do that might be the reason that Steph doesn't want to run it back, but that had the potential to be the greatest spectacle, I think, in recent NBA All-Star weekends. A three-point competition involving Steph Curry and Caitlin Clark, whether you believe that Caitlin is the best three-point shooter or deserves it or not, that's something that everyone, I think, can get behind. And the fact that she's not doing it, it lessens the value of the product. It lessens Saturday night and the three-point competition, whether Curry shows up and does something that's unexpected or not. So I think she understands how big of a star she is, and she has respect for her sport, which we in turn have to do as well. So it sucks that she's not doing it, but I think it's because she gets it. Like, she gets how big of a deal she is.
The response, or what it is that the Warriors, their PR team, put out was sort of curious. They basically said, if I read this correctly, it's like, you know, we can't duplicate what it is that we did last year, so we're not doing it. Like, their response in defending why they're not doing it was, it was almost like, well, it was so good last year, we don't think that we can duplicate its popularity this year.
Well, and I'll tell you why on the other side that's BS, because the NBA's got a bigger problem than that. And I think the fact that they are unwilling to try and run it back, whether it's because the players don't want to participate or they don't want to do the same thing, that indicates a larger issue to me that I'll explain on the other side.
All right, we'll do that and much more. We'll also get back to the Golden State Warriors. We take a brief respite, as everybody does, during the All-Star break. But it's very promising when you think about the addition of Jimmy Butler and the Golden State Warriors trying to walk down those teams in front of them. Do they get into the playoffs, first of all? And then, could they be a sixth seed and avoid the play-in altogether? We discuss with Evan Giddings and Dan Avone. Warriors This Week continues after this quick timeout.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.